NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right, welcome into Hour 2. Time flies when you're having fun. So anyway, shouts out to the guys in the back that make it sound good. Shouts out to the music that Iowa Sound brings in. Shouts out to the topics that we come up with Ryan, the guy, and Ralphie on our trending and our updates. Shouts out to all you guys, man. And shouts out to all you, our listeners, out there listening to us on radio, man. We appreciate your participation. If you're just now coming into the show, welcome in. If you've been listening the entire time, we appreciate you sticking around. I don't know how you're consuming us right now. Are you sitting in the car in traffic listening to us? Are you sitting somewhere with your headphones on in the gym or at the crib? So many different ways to be able to listen these days. But whatever it is you're doing, how you're doing it, we appreciate you tuning in. So let's jump right back into it because we do not have a whole lot of time. I mean, we're in hour two, and next thing you know, you look at it, and then we're saying goodbye to you and giving you up to Steve Hartman, and he's jumping in and doing what he's doing. Is he with Schwartz today? Who is he with? He's with Jeff. Big Jeff Schwartz and Steve Hartman, they give you some great content. They break things down a little bit differently than us, but yet and still you have a former pro player who knows his stuff in Jeff Schwartz, and obviously Steve is just – he's a GOAT legend in this business. So, guys, and when I say guys, I mean TJ Houshmandzadeh and Plaxico Burress. Now, if I need to remind you guys who they are, TJ Houshmandzadeh is a Pro Bowl receiver. You know, you probably know him because he's one of the first, guys that you wondered, like, what is he when you're seeing him out there with his ponytail or his corn rolls or like what who is the guy, and he's busting everybody's ass on Sundays, and it's like you're trying to figure it out. And then there's Plaxico Burress, and you're trying to figure out, well, how tall is he really? And they're both running pass routes and all that stuff, and Plaxico had the Pantene corn rolls too at one point. They were pretty long.
Wasn't mine. Hey, there was nothing Pantene about mine. Mine won't shiny like TJ.
It looked like you straightened. Got your hair flat iron before you got it braided.
We got a different strand of hair. We got a different strand.
Hey, y'all remember the old comb that they used to put on the stove top? That's what Plex used to do to his hair.
When
you're
getting your hair pressed, you gotta get that hair pressed.
You used to hear the grease on it crackle when they put that joint on it. That joint be straight after they touched it, though.
That hot comb hit the back of your neck. You'd be like,
ooh. You hear that skin start to sizzle a little bit. Shouts out to the hot combs and the stove tops and all the mamas and the sisters that used to use them. All right, guys, so let's jump back right at this whole NBA playoffs scenario. We got a text message from one Plaxico Burress, and basically Plaxico is like going crazy about it. Like,
what am I going crazy about?
All right, so here we go. We say, all right, we got to talk about Ben Simmons
first.
I want to
lead the
Simmons.
Show off with Ben Simmons.
So here we are. The 76ers find themselves in a battle in this series, and it's come down to the wire. So I'll lead off with you, Plaxico, with everything that's going on with the 76ers in this series. Why do you have such a problem with Ben Simmons? I mean, the series is 3-3. This is the deciding game. The 76ers won. So here we go.
Hey, this is the problem that I have.
Okay, man. All right.
This is the problem that I have. The 76ers have all the talent in the world to be able to win a world championship this year. And the guys that I feel sorry over, the teammates that are playing beside Ben Simmons, I'm going to tell you why. From a player standpoint, us as professional athletes, like, we love what we do for a living. And the passion that we play with is shown through, like, our energy, our effort, and our relentlessness to compete to be the best that we can be. And to me, Ben Simmons, when I look at him on the basketball court, man, it doesn't look like to me that it means enough to him. As a teammate, and look, Joel Embiid is carrying this organization on his back. He's frustrated. And he doesn't know how to approach the situation, but you can just see it in his face that he needs to come out and say something. And he has the right to. It's not about calling him out, but challenge this man. Challenge him to go out and be better. Say, you know what, man? We can't win without you. Here we are. This man had, 8 points in game 5, 4 points in game 6. He's averaging 32% from the free throw line. Listen, my daughter's 11 years old. She's playing the AAU basketball tournament down there in Pennsylvania or somewhere, and I guarantee you she's a better free throw shooter than Ben Simmons is.
Dang, you called.
Because you know why? Because she understands the significance of being a good free throw shooter because you know why? She's a primary ball handler. She's the point guard. And the good thing about it and also the bad thing about Ben Simmons is that, you know what? It's fixable. Over the last 4 or 5 years, his game has really made no progression. It wow. hasn't gotten better. But so that's showing me as a teammate and as an owner, as an organization, you know what? You really don't care.
Hey, Plex, you know what's crazy about Ben Simmons?
You're not trying to improve.
His shot isn't bad. It's just he doesn't have the confidence to shoot it. Like he doesn't zero have a confidence. Bad shot.
Zero confidence, but the effort and the lackluster mentality and the attitude that he plays with, that's what bothers me. And he's an NBA All-Star. And we're talking about he can't even play in the game for the last – 7 to the last 2 minutes
they're going
to put him on a free throw line.
Yeah,
Doc will not take him out. That will ruin his confidence.
No, they took him out in game 6. And they put him back in with the last 2 minutes in the game because they
you
know
can't
from
foul
the,
without
you
getting,
can't foul yeah, him.
You get a shot and a
it
ball.
It makes no sense. And listen, man, Ben Simmons has already missed more free throws in this playoff series than Steve Nash like missed in his whole entire career. And Ben Simmons has shot, 67 free throws. Steve Nash has shot 440. And he's already missed more free throws in one series than Steve Nash missed in his career. To me, listen, it's fixable. In the offseason, work harder. Get better. And it's not happening. And I said if the 76ers lose this series, it's going to be because of Ben Simmons.
Wow. What do you say to that, TJ?
It's hard to put everything on Ben Simmons' head. He brings a lot to the table. I will say that.
Listen, right now, Tyrese Maxey and George Hill bring more to the basketball team than what he's bringing them right now, more production.
But Ben Simmons, his defense, his rebounding, his ability to get guys involved.
Who is he guarding? Trae Young's dropping 40 a clip.
But he's making.
Who is he guarding?
We got to admit, Ben Simmons is one of the best. Ben Simmons can literally guard 1 through 5. He can do that.
Wrong.
He can. He can do that. Now, I'm with you with the free. You can't be a guy that I want to put the ball in your hand throughout the game to create for others, but I can't do that because you're not even confident in going to the free throw line. You don't even trust yourself when you're at the free throw line. And people, and I tell these guys I train all the time, Plex, when we play sports, everybody always says the same thing. Man, the game is 90% mental and 10% physical. Oh, man, the game is 95% mental and 5%. They always talk about how the game is so mental. And why? If that's the case, then why do we spend 99% of our time preparing physically, but we don't prepare mentally? We've been told this our entire lives. The game is mental. The game is mental. But when it's time to prepare.
I love where you're going
with
this.
When it's time to prepare, all we do is prepare physically. We never prepare mentally. But all you want to talk about is the game is mental. And it's been like that it was like that when we played, and it's like that now. All these coaches, the game is mental. Well, if the game is so damn mental, why do we keep doing all this physical activity then?
I will say we do spend. You spend adequate amount of time
no, you
in,
don't.
In the meeting room. In the meeting rooms.
Both go hand in hand. when it comes to the physical part and the mental part of the game. Because if you're telling yourself to go out and do something, and you're not physically trained to go out and play at the level of what you think you should be playing at, that's the whole mental part of it. Because now you lose your confidence. It doesn't matter how great a shape you're in.
No, not at all. But how many guys you think are working out in the weight room for an hour and some change, on the field or on the court, hour and some change, go shower, go eat, and then spend 5 hours mentally? They're not doing that.
You're touching on something that
they're not doing.
That's what makes Up On Game such an important show to have is, listen, I tend to agree with you on that. I mean, there's a lot of meeting in terms of learning schemes and trying to learn the tendencies of your opponent.
You better have the utmost confidence in yourself or it's over.
But
period.
What you're talking about right now is so important because you don't see players having therapeutic times at the facility. They'll hire a coach to train you in the weight room to get you strong, which most people will tell you the two most important people in a football organization, at least as I know it in football, maybe in other sports, I don't know if this holds true, it's your strength coach and your people in the equipment room, your equipment managers and your strength coach. Like some may say, you know, the health team, you know, the trainers, but it's crazy. They'll hire a physical trainer for you. You go in there, they build a facility. You have the weight room, which is physical. You have the training room, which is for physical rehab, but you don't have anything that's geared or set up to work on the emotional and mental stability and strength and development of these players. And I think that that's a tremendous point that you touch on when I mean, I don't know how this came up out of Ben Simmons, but I mean, in the end, when you think about that, that's pretty critical in what somebody's ability to prepare, to execute, and to go into the game and ultimately be able to perform. So how much of a difference does this make if Ben Simmons does have that?
It makes all the difference in the world because he has this look on his face that, oh, you know what? Oh my gosh, they're going to foul me and put me on a free throw line.
Anxiety. And,
right. He has that look on his face. You know what? I'm going to run to the corner so nobody sees me. Please don't foul me and embarrass me and put me on the free throw line. Mm. That's the look that he has on his face.
He's like scared,
zero confidence.
He's scared.
It's zero confidence. You can see it on his face. He has this look on his face like, you know what? Man, damn. I snuck out of the house last night. My mom caught me, and I don't want to go back to the house, man. I know I'm in trouble. He got this look on his face that he is just scared to death that they're going to foul him and put him on the free throw line. And you know what? Like they have found what works for him. They pulled his card, and now it's become his weakness, and they're playing to it, and it's working. And it's destroying him mentally. And from a confidence standpoint, I don't care what you do in life, what your profession is, or whatever you do. If you don't approach it with confidence, you're going to fail. Mm. And that's exactly what's happening to him. Listen, this guy is an all-star caliber, one of the best point guards as far as a skill set that we have ever witnessed. But the look on his face when they put him on the free throw line is just, you know what? He's already defeated because he just has no confidence.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We have two games today and tomorrow that will dictate and decide what the conference finals will be for the East side of the conferences. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you heard us talking about Ben Simmons and that confidence, lack thereof. What does that mean for the Sixers in this deciding game against the Hawks? And then we'll touch a little bit on the Brooklyn Nets and this series that they found themselves in with the Milwaukee Bucks. Can they do it without Kyrie Irving? You're listening to Up On Game. It's TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. got the Dream Team, the crew in the back handling their business the way that it's supposed to be handled. We'll be right back on the other side of this. Fox Sports Radio.
What kind of dogs you got? Huh. And what you feeding them?
Huh? Raw meat. Yeah, shouts out.
June 1, 6, 7, 1
Yeah, shouts out to him. Hey.
Mom, I'm still thugging. The world is a war zone.
You know, Tupac had a clean-shaved head, too. Speaking of clean-shaved heads, the Dollar Shave Club, you know. I said Tupac, but it could have been your dad. You know, his razor is probably as old as you are. So get him something for Father's Day. Isn't it tomorrow? Isn't Father's Day tomorrow? Okay, there you go. Get him a DSC six-blade razor. It's perfect. You know why? Because it gives you that extra close, precise shave. Get one now at the store near you, all right? Or part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/ my man Jonas. Put Jonas in there. J-O-N-A-S. Jonas. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Jonas.
Jonas.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's jump right back into this, guys. Two deciding games taking place. We said the 76ers, and we talked about Ben Simmons and how he's making it more difficult on this 76ers team and making Doc Rivers look like he could possibly lose his job after one season with the team. Seems like they love getting rid of Doc when something goes wrong. It's tied up 3-3 with the Atlanta Hawks. Obviously, Trae Young has taken his stardom to a whole nother level in this playoff year. Yeah. And then you got the Brooklyn Nets versus the Milwaukee Bucks. And that has now turned into probably the most entertaining series in the playoffs as of right now. It looked like the Nets would sweep them and run away with it. Now they're on the brink of elimination. Choose one. Go with it. What do you think is going to happen? Who's coming out of these deciding factor games?
Man, Milwaukee has turned it on. Milwaukee has turned it on defensively. How the Clippers turned it on defensively against you. They are being so physical with KD. They're pretty much fouling him every time he gets the ball, and they know the refs aren't going to call it consistently enough. Giannis runs you over. They know they're not going to call charges consistently enough. And so they're just playing the odds. But Chris Middleton has stepped up to the point where Brooklyn, they're going to have to make it their purpose to not let Chris Middleton beat them. I would assume that James Harden, this being his third game back from his hamstring, should be much better. If James Harden can be himself tonight, the Brooklyn Nets win this game. If it's all on KD, it's going to be tough. But if James Harden can be himself, Brooklyn will win this game. If Kyrie was playing, it would be over. This just makes it more of a series. And so for me, it's going to come down to how James Harden plays. Can he really get his own shot? He's playing a lot of minutes, but he's not really explosive like he normally is. He's not really cooking guys. He's kind of he's being a little passive when he has a ball, and that's not Harden. And so they need to slow Chris Middleton. Giannis is going to get his. You can't let Chris Middleton and those other guys get theirs. And James Harden has to be James Harden tonight. Oh, I'm going with the Nets.
Yeah, you're going with the Nets, but I if I recall – when me and Rob Parker was having this conversation maybe, a month and a half, 2 months ago, and I had said that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets would end up in the Eastern Conference Finals.
You did say that, I recall.
And I said that, you know, something's going to go wrong with Kyrie. You know, he's been injury prone throughout his career as far as, you know, going into the playoffs, and this is exactly what has happened.
And that's
but you
the
know
difference.
What? Listen, it's a bad injury. Mm-hmm. Peace to Kyrie. It's my man. But listen, I picked the Milwaukee Bucks to come out of the East. With the addition of Jrue Holiday, which Chris said he didn't think he was a max player, but he's playing like one. And what the Milwaukee Bucks have done.
Nah, he ain't playing like one. He's just a max player.
He's playing like a max player right now.
Shouts out to Campbell Hall.
And yeah, and what the Milwaukee Bucks have done, Giannis is getting to the free throw line and he's making his free throws. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they have taken him off the ball in those clutch situations where the team can go down and foul him, and they've made Chris Middleton, the point guard, bringing the ball up the court, making him the primary ball handler, because they're not going to foul Chris Middleton, because he's going to go to the free throw line and knock those down. So here we are, game seven in Brooklyn tonight. James Harden is not himself. We all know how that whole hamstring thing goes.
Oof.
One explosive move,
and it's over.
He's going to be back on the sideline.
Or you're scared that it's going to be over.
He's a shell of himself right now.
Mm-hmm.
The other night he did have 16 points, which is cool, but we know
James Harden is. He doesn't get
30. We know who he is.
He needs to get 30 points.
He will not get 30 tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks have figured it out. Listen, we're not going to let Kevin Durant beat us. Somebody else is going to have to score to beat us, because we're not going to let Kevin Durant drive up and down the court and drop 50 on us. We can't let that happen.
Joe Harris, bro. Like, dude.
Yes, he's
had
one of the best.
You're a three-point shooter, and you 5-for-30. Like,
he's had one of the best
three-point
percentages all year long.
Well, he ain't doing it now.
He ice cold.
You know,
he cannot hit the side of the ball with a 2x4. Right?
Alaska ice cold.
It's one thing to say you got to limit KD. You got to stop KD, who is one of the greatest basketball players to play on this planet. Well, here's the thing, though. The one name that y'all haven't thrown out there is PJ Tucker. To me, he's been the catalyst of this series. PJ.
Listen,
TJ. TJ couldn't D up KD
Tucker,
like that. I'm talking about
Tucker.
PJ Tucker.
Yes. PJ Tucker has been solid.
Man,
he's been
listen.
Good.
Defensively,
listen.
He has harassed.
He's harassed him.
He has harassed him. KD.
And he's still getting buckets put on his head.
But,
Big buckets.
But take those big buckets and look at all of the big buckets that could have been. That would have probably sent this team home by now. They would have got swept if
everybody was healthy, it would have got swept.
And so now you're taking a guy like PJ Tucker, who has harassed KD the entire and has not only harassed him, but has given positive contributions on the offensive side of the court. I look at guys like PJ Tucker as being the reason why this Milwaukee team was able to climb and claw back into this series. Now, granted, I also say the biggest reason why is because of Kyrie's injury, of course. But if we're looking at why you're able to say, okay, can you limit KD? KD's not going to be the reason why we lose this game, why we lose this series. It's because of PJ Tucker. I mean, let's give him his props. I mean, let's be real on that. That is a daunting task for anybody. He's given up all kinds of height, all kinds of inches. He has been the guy that has not shied away from the challenge.
I mean, he's making it tough.
He's
making it tough, but KD is still cooking him. He's making it tough, but KD
but
is
again,
still cooking
I mean,
him.
KD can't cook.
Right.
I mean, but he's not cooking him well done. He's cooking him like he baked him. He didn't put him on the grill.
Like, the Nets paid the Nets.
He baking him, Plex. He put him in the oven.
The Nets gave a guy like Joe Harris $70 million for just hit the open shot. We got all these superstars. You're gonna be doubled. You can't go 2-for-11, 1-for-11, 3-for-8. Last game was a good game. 4-for-9, 9 points. Like, you can't do that.
It's like being a DH. You ain't got to play field, man. All you got to do is hit.
Dude, Joe Harris needs to hit at least 3 to 4 threes tonight. 3 to 4 threes. If he can do that, it's going to open things up, because they know he's a great shooter. They're going to have to stay close. Joe Harris, you got to show up. Landry Shamet, you have to show up.
Mm.
And another thing.
What's another thing?
I don't know what's going on with this whole Giannis free throw situation as far as this 10-second rule is going on, but the NBA is going to change this free throw.
Man, that dude is up there having lunch
for like 20 seconds, and then sometimes they call it, and then sometimes they don't. But I guarantee you tonight, it's game seven, If he's up there for longer than 10 seconds, they're going to make that call.
Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of
They are going to make that call.
Speaking of taking your time to get it done, let's go over to our guy, Ralphie. Hey, Ralphie.
Get her done.
Get it done, Ralphie. Trending.
Hold on. I'm just taking a motion of practicing a free throw. And I got to breathe a little
take
bit.
Take your time. Take your time.
You got to breathe with that heavy tongue.
We got a shot clock violation against Ralphie on trending. All right. All right. Maybe that didn't hit right.
Yeah, no,
that
it
was
did.
Corny.
What?
Believe it or not, my headphones unplugged and I couldn't hear you for a second.
Oh my God.
I'm having a day.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable.
Right. Okay.
But that's okay. Other people are having days too, like the Oakland
Athletics.
Hey,
you look nice though. You got on some clean kicks. You know, you got on the nice slacks and a nice polo top. You look nice though, Ralphie. Yeah. You look nice. You play nice. If you play nice, you know what they say. They pay nice.
That's the idea. Yeah. That is the idea.
Shouts out to Dion.
On to the Diamonds we go. Oakland, a 2-1 lead over the Yankees. That game now in the fifth inning, although the A's are batting with the bases loaded and nobody out. The Mets up 3-0 thanks to 3 RBI from Francisco Lindor. They are playing at Washington. That game is in the fifth inning. The Cubs are hosting the Miami Marlins, and Miami is up now 3-0 already in this contest. Adam Duvall has just hit a 2-run home run. That is 3-0 still. In the first inning, we are making our way towards the NBA Eastern Conference semifinals. Game number 7, Brooklyn hosting Milwaukee. Guys, we're just talking about it. No Kyrie Irving. He's going to miss this game with his ankle sprain. Tip off at Barclays. It's going to be set for 8:30 Eastern time. And it is moving day at the U.S. Open. Round number 3, Russell Henley, Richard Bland share the lead at 5-under par, one shot ahead of Matthew Wolf and Louis Oosthuizen. Bland, 48 years old, oldest player to ever hold a 36-hole lead. That final group will get their round started at 4:35 Eastern time. Final in from Euro 2020, where Germany doubled up Portugal 4-2. And we send it back now to you guys with this one simple question. Ben Simmons, Zion Williamson, are they not headed in the same path? Just wondering.
Now, that was a curveball. Hey, you know.
Hey, Zion is giving you 30, though. 25
Yeah, 30 game. 30 games a year.
Zion has to stay away from the RG Griffin, RG3 deal with what he's got going on. Because anytime the family starts to get put in the headlines of unhappy or this, that, and the other and demands, that is a dangerous, 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 dangerous road that you're going down. Just so you know, that's a little game for you.
I didn't understand. His family and himself are not
unhappy.
Your family doesn't play. You're the one playing. Your family is not in the meetings. They're not in practice, bro. Either you're happy or you're not. Your family, they're not playing.
That's unbelievable.
Please do not present that as a deflecting statement either. Like, oh, it's a little bit better to say me and my family. It's like both of us, my parents,
they're
my,
not,
my family would take the stress off
he's
of me.
He's a grown man.
Yeah,
so either you like it or you don't.
Hey, man, RG3's dad used to be in the locker room at halftime.
Man, please.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the quarterback of your team, like the leader of your team, his daddy is in the locker room at halftime.
He's the daddy.
I guess so.
Man.
Oh, checking on things.
That would
making daddy. Sure that the plays that they giving him are the right ones.
I'm surprised when you're losing at halftime and you pissed off somebody ain't going there and look at him like, get your ass out of here. What you doing in here? I'm surprised.
You got to be careful when the whole parent thing becomes a part of the pro level, man. That's all I'll say on that.
That is crazy.
Yeah, man.
What the daddy going to do?
What is the daddy going
to
do?
He's in there to put adjustments. He's adjusting for halftime. He's seen something in the box in the first half, so he's coming down for it. He's installing adjustments for the second half. Like, what are you there for?
Hey,
that's not healthy.
And speaking of daddies being involved, I guess the one that I would say, I guess kind of, sort of, makes a little sense is, well, LeVar. He's got an NBA Rookie of the Year now. Shouts out to LaMelo. He got the nod. I mean, what do y'all feel about that while we're on the topic?
I mean, I can't say nothing bad about it. I think, you know, for me, and everybody else. I was actually surprised with, you know, his athleticism and some of the things that he was able to do with basketball.
I will say I was,
and
too.
Passing.
I was,
because
too.
I didn't see that coming. But I think, you know, he missed a lot of games this year, and I would have voted for Antoine Edwards.
You mean Anthony Edwards?
I would have voted for Anthony Edwards.
LaMelo missed quite a few games.
He did.
But it was the impact.
He had impact.
When he was on the court. Anthony Edwards had good numbers, but he didn't have the impact on his team in the NBA that LaMelo had. When LaMelo got hurt, the team went down the drain.
No, and they did not.
When LaMelo?
They did not.
Did they make the playoffs? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh.
And so when he was playing, they were right there. And guys want to play with him. And Anthony Edwards is going to be a fantastic player.
Oh, he had a dope year.
But he didn't have that same type of impact that LaMelo had. And you got to give kudos to LaVar Ball because –
Yeah, say whole name.
I was just gonna say LaVar.
Yeah,
because he said it years ago.
He's better. And, he's better than Lonzo.
And it's not only like to have three sons, and they're all professional athletes. Even though the middle one is not in the NBA, that's not easy to do, man. You got to keep your kids on a straight and narrow. You got to make sure athletically they're there. Like. He deserves credit for being a great father and getting his sons to the NBA, because if it was that easy, it'd happen a lot more.
Mm. Well, I think there were a lot of strong participants, you know, that could have been a part of that. James Wiseman had a strong year.
But he missed a ton of games.
He missed a ton of games. Tyrese, you know, Halliburton. He's a star of the future.
It's because he was in sack, so, yeah.
I just think that – LaMelo is a star of the future because there are a lot of things that are connected to him. And keep in mind, I mean, just the education that he has coming into this, what being able to watch the good and the bad and the ugly of what took place with his older brother. I'm happy for him personally. I thought that was a pretty cool deal. I saw the way he got his award, being behind like the shirts in the little store or whatever. I thought that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I mean, I think the future is bright for the NBA, but I still don't think I've seen the replacement to LeBron or to the Michael Jordans of the past. I don't
know.
The Shaquille O'Neal. I have not seen a guy. And listen, the conversation continues to swirl and circulate around the I'm not happy and my family ain't happy with Williamson, you know, Zion. But is he that guy? Is he the guy that we – look at once LeBron is gone and say, this is the guy. I like what Morant did this year. I like the direction he went in.
Goodness.
But are these guys on the level where they can collectively maybe carry the torch? Like how
Zion has to get in the playoffs. He has to get in the playoffs, play on that big stage in order for him to take that next step, as you said. Is he going to be the next face of the league? Once you start playing playoff games and you make your mark, you carry your team to wins, you put up big points, you bring your team from behind, he's going to have to be in those type of games. 2 years into the league, he has yet to play in a playoff game. Long career ahead of him if he can stay healthy.
It has nothing to do with him getting to the playoffs and playing in the playoff games. He has to be on the court.
Mm.
I mean, he didn't miss many games this year.
He has to be
his
on the
rookie,
court.
His
just
rookie.
Like your man Anthony Davis, they have to be on the court if they even were to consider or be mentioned in the same name as LeBron James. If people think that he's the next guy in the NBA to follow LeBron James, he's off to an awful slow start.
I would have to say it's almost insulting to even bring up any type of names to compare to LeBron.
Man, LeBron
and
one of the best to ever play.
I'm just saying. Well, listen, guys, we're gonna come back on after this break. I know you got more, Stretch. I know you got more. But I see Jeff Schwartz and I see my man Steve and those guys outside. They huddled up like they ready to come in hot. We're going to give our predictions for this weekend's slate of games. And then we're going to wrap it up and we're going to get out of here. So make sure you stay tuned so you can hear what we got to say. I hear you brought us back in, taking us out with that Tupac. Ooh. Shots out to Pac. Ooh. He would have been 50, I believe it is. Yeah, 50th birthday. Shot to the great GOAT, Tupac. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio, Up On Game. We'll be back to wrap it on up.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Last segment of the show. We're back. Up On Game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. Hey, you know what? We're going to make some predictions, but cool little deal we got going on here. We got the GOAT in the house. We got Steve Hartman in the house. And we do have what? Oh, and we got my man Jeff Schwartz up in here. What do we call? Is your microphone on?
Fusion.
All right, there we go.
Yeah,
this is a fusion deal, right? This is we're attempting to do some crosstalk here. So, guys, you know, Plexico has totally obliterated Ben Simmons,
and I love it,
and does not believe that the 76ers will end up in the finals of the Eastern Conference. And, well, TJ Hushmanzada, he's only concerned about the Lakers and seemed to be happy that the Clippers were a de facto fill-in for his Lakers team since they've left. So, but right now, let's keep it on the Eastern side of the conference because the Western side has already been decided. We're going to see the Suns versus, obviously, the Clippers. And now we have this weekend slate of games where we will have the 76ers having to figure out what they are going to do in their game with the Atlanta Hawks.
And all right, let me jump in here, LeVar.
Come on, jump in there.
I'm going to take a little about what you said and what Plaxico said.
Yep.
As far as Plaxman talking about the whole Ben Simmons nightmare of having a point guard shooting 30% free throws and he can't keep him in the game at the end of the game because obviously they're going to foul him. He's going to be bricking free throws all over the place. So you can't do that. And then you pointed out, LeVar, let's face it, Doc Rivers is a choker. He's the only coach in the history of the NBA to three times blow a 3-1 series lead. Look, as soon as he got let go, Ty Lue takes over the Clips. They make history, first team ever to win two consecutive series down 2-0 to win those series, and they do it without Kawhi Leonard the last two games. Yeah. So you got a choke artist as a coach. And by the way, let me say this about Doc. Everyone loves Doc. Everyone loves Doc. He's one of those guys. He knows how to schmooze the media. If you're a media person, you love Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. He's that accommodating. But in big games, he has proven time and time again
he can't
figure out when things aren't going well how to get out of the hole. Mm-hmm. So the combination of the two things, I'm not all in on Atlanta.
Okay.
I mean, Atlanta's a pretty mediocre team. I mean, obviously Trae Young is special, but I mean, if Philadelphia lose that game, I'm not going to be like surprised if the Sixers blow that game.
So let's make our predictions then, guys. Let's start with you, Steve. Who you got?
I'll take Atlanta and the points.
You're taking Atlanta and the points. All right. Who else? I mean, you got Atlanta on that game. Who else? So Atlanta over the Sixers.
I got Atlanta over the Sixers. I think the Nets will prevail at home.
So you think the Nets will get over Milwaukee.
And I think what's going to end up happening here, we're going to have a Nets-Clippers NBA Finals. Ooh. Two teams that are in cities that don't care about them. New York is a Knicks town. The Knicks own New York, and the Lakers own here, L.A. Huh? So you got the Nets and the Clippers, two teams that are second fiddle in their own cities.
What you got, Jeff?
All right, I got Atlanta plus +7 is a good bet for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to make some money, Trae Young over his point total, 5 of 6 games now.
Okay.
He flies over. He's a high-volume shooter. But I think in the end, the Sixers win. They're at home. They are better. Obviously, Simmons, there's some issues we just talked about. But Doc Rivers saying yesterday that he's like not quite sure his team is ready to play was mind-blowing to me. Even if you think that, why would you say that out loud? So I go Sixers ever so slightly. I think the Nets actually win fairly comfortably tonight.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I think they're
Yeah.
Who you got, TJ?
You know, I'm going with the Nets.
Okay,
the Nets will win.
Joe Harris, just make a few threes, bro. That's all I ask of you. And I'm going to go with the Atlanta Hawks.
The Hawks.
Wow.
Well, you guys,
I'd love to see that, by the way.
Stretch, who you running with?
I'm taking the money line Ice Trae Young.
Okay.
Wow. Atlanta Hawks to go out there and get it done. It's going to be a sad letdown in Philadelphia. And I'm not backing off my Milwaukee Bucks. I've said that all
hey,
year
Plex,
long.
You know what?
I'm going Milwaukee
winning because I want you to get your
off-white.
Let me ask you this.
Go, Giannis.
All right, hold on. Plex, I got a question for you. If Milwaukee gets blown out, let's say they just don't show up for this game seven. Are you convinced that Milwaukee team, because to me that team reminds me a lot of Cleveland the first time LeBron was around. Like, they don't quite have the pieces to get to the top.
Yeah, they don't have the pieces. But you know what? They are going to beat the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
Who you got, LeVar?
I got the Sixers, and I got the Milwaukee Bucks as well.
Wow.
So enjoy the games.
Wrong
enjoy the show.
Feet,
do
baby.
Not tune out because we got Jeff and we got Steve coming up next. And as you can tell, they got a lot of heat coming for you. This is Up On Game, Fox Sports Radio. We'll see you next week. Check you out.
Peace.